I just want to tell you, Bli Nether, we're going to finish on time. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim, B'nei Aaron. The parsha begins, they should speak. Hashem tells Moshe, speak to the B'nei Aaron. V'omarto aleihem, and say to them. So everybody's involved with this question as to the double lashon. Emor v'omarta. And there's a lot of different interpretations. I just want to dwell on that for about 30 seconds till I move to the main point. The idea of speaking to the Kohanim here is to tell them that they have to maintain a high level of Kedusha. They have to have a tremendous level of holiness, more than the average. They have to hold themselves up to a higher level. A Kohen has to always maintain Kedusha. This is really a continuation from last week's Parsha. Kedoshim Tiyu, you have to be holy. And the way the Parsha ends last week, speaking about different things that separate the Jews from the rest of the world, that we are a holy nation. I want to really flip to the end of the Parsha that we're going to be learning tomorrow. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, and I'll see how it ties in a minute. It says, somebody went out, the son of a Jewish woman, Vuhu ben Ishmitri, Vayinotsu b'machane, there was an argument in the camp, and then what happened was this man, Vayikalil, and he cursed Hashem. And they brought him to Moshe, etc. The end of the story, he gets put in a mishmar, he gets put into a jail cell, pun intended, and what happened is... And what happens is the following. The person we call the Megade, the one who was cursing Hashem, says Vayetze, he went out to curse Hashem. And please focus on this for a minute. Here's where really I want to focus on. So we said Mehechen Yotza. So where did he go out? It says he went out. Where did he go out from? So Rashi brings a number of explanations. I just want to deal with one of them. It says Chazal tell us that the Lechem Haponim, we all know the Lechem Haponim was the bread that was kept in the Mishkan, and it was placed in the Mishkan as a sacrifice to Hashem. And from the time it was placed there, it was kept there for a week. And after that, it was taken off. And it was going to be offered to Hashem. And this person had a problem. This Megadeth, the one who ultimately would come to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And please listen to this. It's such a basic thing that it affects every one of us on a regular basis. I think it's kedai, it's worth listening to. It didn't make sense to him. What are you doing? If I want to serve someone in my family a good meal, the bread should be fresh and warm. If I'm having company, the bread should be baked and served right after it comes out of the oven. If I'm having a melech, a king, a president, someone come in, the bread has to be something that's there, that's befitting the royalty or the kedusha. Says the Megadev, I don't understand. You're putting the bread in 1 week, and then a week later you're taking out cold, stale bread to serve. How do you do that? That's disrespectful. We all know, and if we don't, you'll know now, there was a nace. The bread stayed warm and fresh in the shulchan for the entire time. But what did the Megadev do? The Megadev cursed Hashem. He didn't wait a week to see. It didn't make sense to him. How could this be? You put in the bread one day and the week later it's going to still be warm? I don't understand that. Did he look into the matter? Who is this Megadev? He was with B'nai Yisrael. Think about it. He witnessed B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim. He's a Jew. He witnessed the Makos in Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf. Matan Torah. The Mun in the Midbar. Maimed Har Sinai. One thing after another. And all of a sudden, because he doesn't understand the concept of the bread, he goes off like this. And he curses God. He curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why can't he assume there's going to be another Nes? Assume there'll be a miracle. God's been doing this for a while. We all know the Nes, the Makos and Mitzrayim took place over the course of an entire year. So the miracles were happening. They were going on and on. So therefore, why couldn't Megadev assume that? And that's the question. The problem, I believe, is the Megadev was his attitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he had a question that didn't have an answer right now, at this moment, at this time, he decided, I'm rejecting God. It doesn't make sense to me, then I'm not doing it. It doesn't make sense. I don't have to explore. Everything has to make sense to me, and it has to make sense to me today. When I'm 14, 15, 16, 17, 30, 40, 60, 80, what's the difference? But if it doesn't make sense to me, throw it out. If it doesn't make sense to me, I don't need it. His question over here, he saw what arguing, think about it. The Chera Egel, he saw what arguing Moshe does. He saw what goes on. Yet he's going to do this? He lost all logic. He lost all sense of perspective. One other thing I forgot to mention. Akedas Yitzchak, the opposite. Avram Avinu had been told, children will come from Yitzchak, Kibyat Karekel Azorah, B'nai Yisroel will extend, the great nation. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, take your son up as an Ola. He didn't question. He didn't say, God, whatever. He did what he was told. Ultimately, it became one of the greatest acts in our history. To show he's willing to give up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't question. To do the Ratzon HaBoreh, to do what Hashem asked, he was willing. Moshe may have had questions at the Lechem upon him also. He said, I'll wait and I'll see what happens. It's not for me to be concerned about it. I have to do what I need to do. Fear is not an answer. When someone rejects belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I don't understand, therefore I don't believe. I don't believe you're answering yourself and saying there's no God. What you're actually doing is raising more questions. Think about the world we live in. Think about a person, how he's created, your body's DNA. Think about the fact that the sun, the moon, the solar system. We all know if the planet, the sun would be a little further, a little closer, life could not exist. The earth would spin a little slower, a little faster. We couldn't be on this planet. In our bodies, the way they're put together, a small, minor change, and we could not be alive. This is not something that came about by mistake or by accident. There's some kind of thing. The only reason for kfira, in my humble estimation, is that you think it's an answer. And people don't do it for an answer. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and take a chance on saying this. But I think the reason many people say is, it doesn't make sense to me, because they want to escape the responsibility of mitzvos. A person wants to escape doing the mitzvos. And now he has an excuse. Doesn't make sense. Why should I do it? Doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to sit here now and start doing things that don't make sense. In the Gemara itself, when you have a question, there's two ways to leave it as a question. Kasha, what's the other word? Tegu or? Three. Tiyufta. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Kashas, there's an answer. We don't have it right now. Tiyufta, we may not have the answer. But what happens is, you don't take a kasha that we don't know right now and leave it over as something that Tiyufta has no answer. Or no clear answer. If you look, there's a story about somebody who was in a shul. And he saw the gabbai go to a guy in the third row, you're a Kohen, and he calls him up. He goes to a guy to the other end of the shul, Levi. He goes to somebody else, Shlishi, Ravi, Chamishi, and the guy says, this makes no sense. He goes to the Gabbai afterwards, you know what you should have done? Call people up in order where they're sitting. That way everybody will get an aliyah on their turn. Obviously, anyone who's been in a shul knows you can't do that. One guy has a simcha, a yard site, he needs a kibbut, whatever it may be. You have to call up your base, and that is. Because if you don't know everything, you can't judge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who rules the world. We cannot be the ones to judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't say we don't understand and therefore the mitzvos make no sense and we don't have to do it. We're in this world and we're literally like a gnat flying around. We don't know anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, gave us guidelines, gave us mitzvos, and our goal as we go through life is to elevate ourselves. We started off, Emor v'amar, the Kohanim have to elevate themselves. It's a continuation from Parshas Kedoshim, to be holy. To elevate ourselves to a level of Kedusha, so that maybe we can remove ourselves from asking the questions that would create someone who rejects the mitzvos like the Megadeth, the one who cursed Hashem. How could we do that? Let's talk tachlis. How do we elevate ourselves? There's a maisa I saw in a sefer about a Jew who was very, very, let's use the word, ignorant. He could barely read. They didn't have art scroll siddurim. And people didn't have an education that they could all read. He knew one tefillah. Baruch Sha'omar. He knew the tefillah of Baruch Sha'omar. For those of us who may have learned the halachos, we know Baruch Sha'omar is a bracha preceding Psukei Dezimra. And you don't say Baruch Sha'omar if you're not going to say Psukei Dezimra. He didn't even know that. And he would come in and he would daven, Baruch Sha'omar v'hoyo ha'olam. Baruch Hu. Baruch Osev Horeishis. Blessed be the one who did creation. Baruch, blessed be when Omer Va'osa, he says and he does, he creates. Go Zeru Mekaye, Merache, he's merciful. And he goes on, and he says this, Baruch Sha'omar, with passion. Doesn't even know what every word means. Later on, this person became one of the Gedolei Hador of his generation. And he wrote a sefer. The name of the sefer? Baruch Sha'omar. Why? Because he always wanted to remember that his start to greatness was taking something he barely understood and working on it. Not rejecting it, not throwing it away because I don't understand, but utilizing that as a springboard to further study, to furthering his knowledge of mitzvos and why they exist. There's only one way that a person can't become great. If you allow your Yetzer Hara to take over. If you allow Yetzer Hara to tell you, you can't do it. It's impossible. I can't learn. Sit in Davin for 45 minutes, are you serious? I don't even know what the words mean. Sit in the shul, it's crowded, it's hot. Whatever it may be, it's boring. I don't know. You ask a doctor, are you a good doctor? I don't know many doctors say, I can't do it. You go to a lawyer, are you capable of winning this case? The lawyer's not going to deny that. An engineer, no, I can't construct that kind of a building. Let's go one step further. A ball player, no, I don't want the ball in the last minute of the game. Of course you do, otherwise you don't belong on the court. You don't belong on the ice, you don't belong on the ball field. You think you could do it. So what makes all those people better than a Jew? Why, as a Jew, do we begin to say, I can't, I won't, it's impossible? That's not you talking. It's the Yetzer Hara inside of you telling you you can't do it. When it comes to mitzvos and Torah, we have responsibilities. We can't leave them as a tiyuvta. We have to be motivated. I'll leave off with one story. Or I should say one concept. And there were a couple of things that happened. There was a Meister with the Baal Shem Tov who had a dream, and in his dream, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him one of the people he's going to share his Olam Haba with. He's going to share his Olam Haba, his world to come, the future where the great Baal Shem Tov will be. And he told him where the guy lived in his dream and who he was. The Baal Shem Tov thought about this and said, you know what? Since I'm spending my Olam Haba with him, let me go find him and meet him and see who he is. He goes to the town and he sees this guy who's about 6'2", 240 pounds, a lumberjack whose arms are bigger than anything he's ever seen before. And he's looking at this guy. He says, you're so-and-so? Yeah. You learn a lot? No, not really. You daven? Sometimes. Most of the time I do. I don't. And he's thinking, did anything in your life ever happen special? Well, my father was a weak man, physically. And one time, the goyim of the community came to the city and began to beat the Jews to get them to convert. And my father was being beaten with an inch of his life. And he whispered to me, I can't take it. I'm going to convert. I'll do what they want. And then his neshama left him and he died before he did that. And I swore to myself then, that's not happening to me. I'm going to build myself up as strong as I can, that they're not going to come and beat me to change my religion for anything. And that's why I became who I am. And the Baal Shem Tov went home. This guy became strong, not because he wanted to be strong. He became strong because it was something that meant something to him for his Yiddishkeit. When a baker gets up at 4 a.m. to bake bread and cookies and challahs, and he thinks he's just doing it for money, that's one kind of a baker. But when he gets up in the morning, he says, I'm being able to let this whole community, the Jewish community, eat good food. And I'm going to sustain them. And they're going to have a great Shabbos. That's a different level. When the musicians play at a simcha, and he's there because he's just playing like this, and he's getting his money, it's great. But when he has in mind, he's doing it for simchas chasan v'kala. It's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different level. It's motivation. It's why are you doing something? We don't always know why when we're young. We sometimes don't even know why when we're middle-aged or when we're old. But we can't let the Yetzirah take over. We have to be motivated. If we're not motivated properly, when you allow the Yetzirah to take over, we become like the Megadeh. We throw it away because you don't understand something today. And you're not going to understand it this year or maybe next year. And you might not understand it for 5 or 10 years. That's what life is about. To grow in mitzvot, to grow in Torah, to grow in understanding. And that way, I guarantee, as much as I can as a human being, they'll grow only closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill all that you need to do. Good Shabbos. Amen. Amen.